The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. As many of you know, we're here for several weeks. My family will be here through the end of the summer educational program. So that takes us about 6 weeks into the rest of this summer. But thanks to modern technology, I'm able to keep a close eye on the activities back at Edstone, particularly my bird feeder. We've got this wonderful technology set up now where you can actually observe the birds from afar, or at least I can. We're not making this available to everybody out there for security reasons, but Richard has set this up over the network. You can see these beautiful woodpeckers, these great spotted woodpeckers coming in pairs. And in some cases, even feeding each other these pairs. Notice this. Look at that. Wow. Hanging off the top ledge there as he's, some would say, kissing the other bird. But I think one of them gets a mouthful and then shares it with his partner there. So pretty exciting images. And, of course, I'm not there, so I've handed all the bird feed to Brent Nachtigall. He's our Jerusalem correspondent, who's now in Edstone for the summer himself. So Brent will have to make sure that he waves to the camera every time that he comes out to stalk the bird feeder. And, of course, the camera is also helpful in case the feeder is sabotaged by a protester. It didn't happen that long ago, I think, when there you see. You see this big penguin put to the bird bath. And we noticed that while it was up, I don't even know who did this, actually. But we left it up there for a full day, and none of the birds came to the feeder. So they were frightened by this giant penguin that someone put out in front of my bird feeder. So I've got the camera in place, and I can actually watch it live, and it's got a great motion-sensitive recorder that starts recording the images if birds come into the frame. So pretty pretty cool setup just for you bird feeder fans who are out there, and I know there are a few of you. A little bit of feedback in response to yesterday's program. Richard Palmer subbing in for me. He's the one who was nice enough to hook up all of this this equipment. But it says here, my next dentist appointment, I'm thanking them that they subscribed to the Trumpet magazine. This was my start to finding this program. I hope many more will watch. So interesting. So this is a listener that was made aware of this church, this work, through the waiting room program, reading a Trumpet magazine while at the dentist. Another one here says, good morning, Richard. I love your accent. Well, we all do, of course. Richard's wonderful accent. It says, brilliant program reporting the history of the slave trade. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to or view this program. Slavery isn't the real reason our statues are falling. That's Richard's program from just yesterday. I'll talk more about it here in just a second. But it says here, another one does, a very inspiring program on the history of the abolishment of slavery. Well done, Mr. Palmer. Another writes, why can't we have a program on TV all about our wonderful history? You've opened my eyes. It says, I am proud to be British. I am sure the average person knows nothing of this fight for freedom of the slaves. And then one final one says, these younger people have been given a false narrative of history. Many college and universities teach a different history other than what is the truth. And that's really what was impressed upon my mind as I watched most of Richard's program last night. It's sad to think about what our young people are receiving in school. Even at the university level, Richard goes back and just gives you this sweep of history and shows how common the slave trade was for thousands of years, in fact, century after century, and so many nations getting involved because of greed, because of selfishness. And then he said, what's remarkable about the United States and Britain in particular is the great lengths that they went to abolish the practice. Britain even taking to the seas to go and stop the trafficking, leaving their little island so that they can go and enforce their values. And then we know about what the United States did. The efforts early on in the founding of fledgling United States, fledgling America, to contain slavery to the South, and then eventually to abolish it, to get rid of it. Now, as some of these listeners pointed out, these are positive things. Getting rid of this misery, this suffering, this sin. And why can't our young people receive instruction like this at school? They should all sit in front of that program that Mr. Palmer put together yesterday and learn something about our history. Here are some of our listeners who came away from it inspired. They were actually, think of it, they were actually proud of Britain's history. They were actually proud of America's history. Okay, original sin, fine. But we stamped it out. Are there still some lingering side effects or some lingering problems? Of course there are. Are there still racial injustices, inequalities in some isolated respects? Of course. But here are the nations of Israel, the United States and Britain, and they stamped it out. There's a famous statue in Boston. It's Lincoln signing the Emancipation Proclamation to free the slaves. And there's a slave kneeling beside Mr. Lincoln in this scene. He's about to be set free forever. That was the meaning that went into this statue. I think it was built 120, 130 years ago. It's been in Boston for a long time. And that statue's probably going to come down. If it's not brought down by the city council, it'll probably be brought down by the mob. Abraham Lincoln signing the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, because there's a black man kneeling beside him, we can't have that. Now, today, of course, you can flip it around. You can have all sorts of whites kneeling before Black Lives Matter. That's fine. In fact, they probably will replace it with something like that, an image like that. That's okay. But because this slave next to Lincoln happens to be kneeling down, we've got to get rid of it. Never mind the meaning, the powerful meaning, the powerful message that there is in that statue in Boston. And people can pass by every day and be reminded of the fact that as grotesque as that sin was, that particular president, he did what he could to abolish it forever. That should be celebrated. You would think that's history we should celebrate, right? But it's not. So much ignorance on display every day. And everything is so negative. If you want some positive, if you want the positive view of this history, and there are positives, go and listen to Richard Palmer's program from yesterday. Watch the stream or the recording on YouTube and understand. Get some context. Get some perspective. Senator Tim Kaine. He was speaking in Congress. This was from a couple of days ago. Listen to what he said. Clip one.
The first African Americans into the English colonies came to Point Comfort, Virginia in 1619. They were slaves. They'd been captured against their will. But they landed in colonies that didn't have slavery. There were no laws about slavery in the colonies at that time. The United States didn't inherit slavery from anybody. We created it.
Created it? Is he serious? Like, this is original with the United States? This is a senator in Congress. Just craziness. And the thing of it is, the children. Well, he has a son, Mr. Kaine does. He made the news a couple of years ago, I think, for attacking a Trump supporter. But these are the things children are learning in school from older gentlemen, I presume, like him, teaching at universities. Yes, we created it. And you know what? They'll take it even a step further. It's still here. It's still with us. Listen to what Mr. Kaine went on to say. Clip two.
We created it. And we created it and maintained it over centuries. And in my lifetime, we have finally stopped some of those practices, but we've never gone back to undo it.
We've stopped some of the practices, but we've never gone back to undo it. So take these two clips and then please go and view Richard's program from yesterday. We've stopped some of it, some of the slave practices, and we've never gone back to undo it. This is insane. This is the world today. This is a world in which Satan has such a stranglehold, and it's particularly on just two nations, as I've been emphasizing, the United States and Britain. This is where you see the movement. This is where the movement is the strongest. The United States and Britain. I saw the first part of the Aston Villa game during lunch yesterday. The Premier League is off and running again. And right before the game, you've got, what was it, like a minute of silence for the NHS? And then just right after that, both teams take a knee for Black Lives Matter. And every single one of the players has Black Lives Matter on their jersey. This is in England. This is the start of the Premier League in England. It's like you get every game now. You get two cults in one. You've got the NHS cult, and then you've got the Black Lives Matter cult. And neither of them can be criticized. They're to be worshipped. We're to kneel down before them. This is a crazy world, and it just gets crazier, doesn't it? Where do you have to go just to get to the truth? Well, like I say, go to yesterday's program and feel good. How about that? Feel good about your nation's history if you happen to be British, if you happen to be American. You know, we tackled this beast. We faced it down. We killed it off. And in some cases, even enforced it worldwide. What two nations can compare to the United States and Britain when it comes to spreading freedom and liberty and democracy around the world? You're not going to hear that in school today. Oh, no. Now, I'm not saying our nations are without problems. We're seeing curses all over the place, and it's prophesied. But there is some glorious history there. And it really does show, doesn't it, just how important it is for us to make sure we're grounded in it. Because the history is being removed. The statues are being torn down, tossed in the lake, tossed in the harbor. Thomas Jefferson, he's down. in Oregon. He was pulled down. Abraham Lincoln's about to be pulled down in Boston. This is not Robert E. Lee. These are not Confederate generals. This is exactly what President Trump predicted in 2017. You go for this Confederate general, who's next? Who's next? Thomas Jefferson? George Washington? He was spot on with that forecast. The statues are coming down. Where? In the United States and Britain. How about France? No. How about France? Macron has said there is no way we're going to abolish our monuments. There is no way we're going to delete our history. Even France is showing more of a backbone than the United States and Britain. Who will stand up to the mob? Who will stand up to the madness? Satan's got quite a grip on our societies, and he's tightening that stranglehold. He is. Yesterday, the Fulton County District Attorney, he announced 11 charges against Garrett Rolfe. He's the police officer that shot Rayshard Brooks in the back. That's all that the media reports. He was shot in the back. They don't get into any of the other details. And you probably have seen the video. This individual who was drunk in the drive-through lane. The police came up to him. The police gave him a breathalyzer test. So he was intoxicated and driving. Now, that's a crime in the United States. Or at least it used to be. You're arrested for that. And so that's what those two police officers were doing. They arrested him for driving while intoxicated. Well, you know what happened. As soon as they started to put the handcuffs on, then he started trying to get away and beating the police officers in the process and stealing one of the tasers and shooting the taser at the police officers. I guess you're supposed to be able to do all of those things without being punished, without a police officer responding in self-defense. 11 counts brought against this police officer, including murder, and you had the DA saying it might even be the death penalty. This is just after a few days. As I understand it, the investigation wasn't even concluded. And here is a DA under intense pressure. I'll give him that. Here's a DA coming forward with talk of the death penalty for this officer. Do you think anything can go wrong here as this goes forward through the court system? This DA under intense pressure, and also, by the way, investigated. He's being investigated for quite a lot of corruption. He's up for re-election as well. The whole system. You know, you want to talk about systemic problems. There is plenty to talk about. What a system. It needs to be replaced, doesn't it? By God's government. It needs to be placed by God's law. It needs to be enforced by the family of God. So what happens when this works its way through the judicial system in Fulton County, Atlanta, or in Fulton County, Georgia? What happens if this police officer is acquitted? What happens if there's something like that with the Minneapolis case? Two district attorneys that may have taken it too far. We'll see. My point is, there certainly is a setup here for more riots to come. Satan is the god of this world. Satan wants people hating each other. He wants people gunning for each other. He wants us fighting each other. He's whipping up so much hatred, so much rage. President Trump last night on Fox, he at least came to the defense of not just this officer, but policemen in general. Here's what he had to say, clip 6.
The event that took place yesterday was, I thought it was a terrible situation, but you can't resist a police officer. And, you know, if you have a disagreement, you have to take it up after the fact. It was a very sad, very, very sad thing. And it's up to justice right now. It's going to be up to justice. I hope he gets a fair shake, because police have not been treated fairly in our country. They have not been treated fairly. But, again, you can't resist a police officer like that. And they ended up in a very terrible disagreement. And look at the way it ended. Very bad. Very bad.
That's the president last night on Fox News saying what used to be common sense. You can't resist arrest. There are ways to address injustices brought on by the police. As the president indicated there, you have to sort it out in court. But look, people talk often about the black father who, if he's even around, that is, who has to have the talk with his son. Well, really, every parent should have that talk, whether you're white, black, or brown. If you're pulled over by a police officer, the attitude is, yes, sir. Well, what if he's a rogue cop? Well, I guess looking at it as a Christian, there's a certain element of faith that you have to go on here as well. But you don't resist. You don't punch the police officer. You don't steal his taser. That's what happened in this particular case. And now, again, the effort, and it is a concerted effort and widespread, the media, they're on board with it, to try to make the policeman the villain, to try to make the policeman the villain, and to try to make the villain into a saint. This is from Conservative Review about Rayshard Brooks. It says, could Brooks have been running from the law? He appears to have served only 4 months of a 7-year sentence in 2014 for charges and convictions of simple battery, cruelty to children, false imprisonment, family violence battery, receiving stolen property, criminal interference with government property, weapons charges, and obstructing a law enforcement officer in the preceding years. This is his rap sheet. Rayshard Brooks says, it looks like there were numerous probation violations until a parole officer issued a warrant for his arrest on December 20th, 2018, when he had fled to Ohio. It's not clear why he wasn't put back in prison when he was returned to Georgia this past January, but it does appear he was supposed to report to the Clayton County Probation Office and was scheduled for a February 5 parole revocation hearing, it says, according to court records. Finally, it says here, that would explain why he violently resisted arrest on Friday night. Could he have been a criminal with a violent record who got parole instead of hard time and continued to violate his parole? Well, thus far, the media has been silent about his record and has lauded him as the ultimate family man. He's the ultimate family man. Mr. Brooks. The villain? Well, the police officer, of course. You talk about a problem with the justice system? How come this man wasn't in prison to begin with? That would have saved his life if they just would have kept him in prison. You may have seen this horrific video. This 31-year-old black man walking down the street, and he just clocks this 92-year-old woman on a walker in New York City. And she falls down, hits her head on a fire hydrant. He smacks an old lady. And what about some of the background of that story? The authorities tracked him down and did arrest him, thankfully. It's the 104th time he's been arrested. He's 31 years old. That doesn't even compute in my mind. You start getting arrested at what, 16, 17 years of age? 104 times you're arrested in the past 13 years or so? Well, that's like 7 or 8 arrests per year. He's roaming the streets a poor 92-year-old woman on a walker, and he punches her in the face. These kinds of incidents are just getting worse. You know why? Because the police are pulling back. The police in Atlanta are furious at these charges brought on by the district attorney. They're furious. You've got all these precincts, police all over the city calling in sick in protest. And so what happens in Atlanta this week? Well, we'll be watching the crime statistics to see if they skyrocket like they are in Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and New York right now. Black lives matter? Do they all matter? Do black lives matter enough to do something for the black community? Like making sure that law enforcement is in place? Here's the president saying, look, the police in the United States have been treated unfairly. And he's right. And he's right. And it's putting more black people in danger. That's the truth. So here comes this DA in Fulton County, and he brings 11 counts. Murder. Death penalty. Listen to what he said about Mr. Brooks. This is the Fulton County DA yesterday, clip 3.
We've concluded at the time Mr. Brooks was shot that he did not pose an immediate threat of death or serious physical injury to the officer or officers.
So he concluded that, well, this criminal with this rap sheet that just goes on, that broke away from these two officers, stole the taser, punched the officers, threw them down. He concluded that they pose no immediate threat of death or injury, not even injury. And then the media pick that up and run with it and say, shot in the back, shot in the back, shot in the back. Al Sharpton, of course, rushes to the cameras and says, hey, the police need to obey the law. The police are lawless. That's not the problem here. They're out there risking their lives. 89 of them were killed in the line of duty last year. 89 police officers in the United States. And the problem here is police brutality. The problem here is lawlessness in law enforcement. There's the occasional case, of course. But step back for a moment and look at what's... This same district attorney, by the way, he said that it didn't pose any danger, and he knows, he's seen the video, as you have. He knows that this perpetrator stole the taser. Listen to what this same DA said just a couple weeks ago about a taser. This is clip 4.
And charged with aggravated assault of Ms. Pilgrim, and this is for pointing a taser at Mrs. Pilgrim. And as many of you all know, under Georgia law, a taser is considered as a deadly weapon under Georgia law.
Oh, okay. So 2 weeks ago, pointing a taser at anyone, that's considered a deadly weapon. But for Mr. Brooks to point it at that police officer and to fire it, that's okay. He posed no danger to those police officers. So when this goes through the court system and the jury is made aware of the fact that according to Georgia law, as you just heard there, a taser is considered a deadly weapon. Well then, unless the jury is corrupt, it seems like there's a pretty good chance here that officer could be acquitted. So then what happens? You come under intense, again, this is Satan's world. You come under intense pressure. Oh, the mob wants justice. The mob wants you to take care of this. And so here comes the DA. And he says, the police officer ought to get the death penalty. It's a recipe for another explosion. a recipe for another riot nationwide. Cities going up in flames. And of course, this is exactly what the agitators want. This is all part of the plan. This is part of their strategy to bring down the system. Ami Horowitz, he paid a visit to Chaz, the new state within a state in Seattle. I guess they're called CHOP now. So Chaz or CHOP, you can pick your acronym. But he's on the streets in Chaz talking to some of the Marxist revolutionaries. And here's one of them. She's one of the leading voices of the movement. This is clip 8.
Every single day that I show up here, I'm not here to peacefully protest. I'm here to disrupt until my demands are met. You cannot rebuild until you break it all the way down. Respond to the demands of the people or prepare to be met with any means necessary. By any means necessary.
That's not just a slogan.
No. No. No, it's not a slogan. It's not even a warning. I'm letting people know what comes next. A response to violence is not violence itself.
Response to violence is not violence. So their demands have to be met, she says. Here's a staunch supporter of Black Lives Matter, Antifa. What are the demands? Well, do away with police. Do away with the criminal justice system. And do away with prisons. Just let everybody run free. Just let thugs walk down the street and punch 92-year-old women. How about that? How exciting is that? What a society. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. Jesus compared it to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do away with the police. Do away with the criminal justice system. And let the prisoners go free. Well, in a lot of cases, the prisoners are being set free. You had Mr. Brooks, this long rap sheet, only spent a few months in jail, even following a 7-year sentence. And then this 31-year-old man, arrested 104 times. He's out there on the streets. He punches the 92-year-old woman. She falls down on the sidewalk. He does look back, but he just keeps walking. Just keeps going. This is another clip from Ami Horowitz, clip 9.
Should we abolish the prison system?
Yes, we should get rid of it as we know it today.
Get rid of it?
Yes. I don't understand why more journalists are not asking those questions. We run to black people the minute that they're killed, and we have been seeing them be killed for so long that the PTSD from that is unbelievable. You have people still about 9/11. Unbelievable. One act of terror.
Do you feel like an American?
I am an African brought to America.
I'm actually one of the original members of the Seattle Black Panther Party.
Do you feel like the revolution that you started is on the right track?
I think it's taking a turn in the wrong direction, honestly. This precinct here is needed because there are a lot of people that need police assistance. Who are they going to call? But you know what? We didn't go around and smash them and burn them out and things like that. It just didn't happen. So
Unlike today.
Some words of wisdom there from the Black Panther Party. One of the original members of the Black Panther Party from the 1960s. Saying that we need the police. Saying that we didn't smash up and burn buildings like they're doing today. Acknowledging that this is out of hand. This is crazy. A third of Americans now think that civil war is likely. 34%. Of likely U.S. voters think it's likely that America will experience a second civil war in the next 5 years. The percentage is 40% among Republicans, civil war in the next 5 years. There's a member of the Black Panther Party on the streets of Chaz, and he's shocked at how far this has gone, at how out of control it is. How do you put it back together? How do you bring the races together? Well, in a better world, in God's world, you could start by sitting down and listening to that lecture from yesterday, that history lesson from Richard Palmer. Here's a bit about the history. Here's what's happened. Here's where we are today. There's still progress to be made, but what a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing it is to live in the freest, most prosperous nation in the history of the world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can send email to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
The Trumpet Daily.
Well, we're drawing near to the SEP program, and what we're in the midst of planning right now is, well, we've made some modifications, so a few revisions. We're adding a few things. We're tweaking the schedule here and there. Yesterday or the day before, we sent out a letter to the parents of all the campers coming in 2.5 weeks to tell them about the book club that we're adding to camp. That's right, an active, busy summer camp where we're also going to make time for reading, for study, for history. There's some novels in there, some classics that we've selected in addition to some works of history, like 1776 by David McCullough, Dale Carnegie's classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So we're giving everyone a choice, a book that they can hopefully purchase before they come to SEP. And then they'll have an opportunity to study and to discuss what they're learning and also to be very active. SEP is busy. And of course, for those of us who are older, sometimes that activity can be a little bit harder to keep up with, but we're reminded from time to time of just how important it is to stay active, to keep moving. Richard gave me this piece a couple days ago from CNRS News. It says, although few people know it, a sedentary lifestyle is the fourth leading cause of death worldwide. The fourth leading cause. It is actually dangerous to do what I'm doing right now a lot. Just sitting. Sitting. And, of course, as a white-collar worker, an office worker, these kinds of articles are always quite corrective because most of us don't move enough. It says here, I focus on both, I think it's quoting from some expert here who backed this study, I focus on both the effects of physical inactivity, which means not practicing a sport, and sedentariness, which is spending too much time sitting down. That's according to one of the individuals that conducted this study. It says results are unequivocal. In slim and healthy individuals, after just a few days, metabolic disturbances occur that are identical to those seen in diabetic or obese people, particularly concerning the use of lipids and carbohydrates by the body. It says the first observation in these subjects under prolonged bed rest is hyperlipidemia, high fat levels in the blood associated with the metabolism's inability to burn the lipids in question. It quotes him as saying, when you become inactive, the body starts to prefer using carbohydrates to produce the energy it needs, tending to burn fewer lipids, which will therefore accumulate in the adipose tissues, as well as in tissues where they should not be found, such as the muscles, bones, liver, and even the pancreas. So basically, it's kind of a scientific explanation for how it hurts the body. It hurts our health. Further on, it says, well, I lost some of my highlighting when I printed this. I guess I can just leave it there. In any event, one of the things that we're going to emphasize at SEP, as you can tell from what I said right at the start of this segment, is the balance, the godly balance of a Christian lifestyle where you've got a proper amount of physical activity together with reading and study, conversation, fellowship, lectures, instruction, personal Bible study, prayer. How important is this in a world that's just gone mad? You listen to that woman on the streets of Chaz and you think, well, it's almost laughable. It's not even really coherent. It's not logical. This Horowitz asked her at one point, so you bring down the system and then what? And they don't really have an answer, a specific answer for it, except to say it's just going to be great. We are working on it. We've got some kind of an imaginative solution. It's just chaos and anarchy. And it's destroying our nations. And no one stands up to it. We're too afraid. We're too faint-hearted, as I said the other day. We've lost our courage. And how much of that is connected? That mental courage, faith, boldness, that sort of thing, together with just being more where we should be physically. Now, obviously, everybody gets old. And the proverb talks about the hoary head. It's a glory. It's something that we ought to honor and respect. But the Proverbs speak of the young people, too. The glory of their strength, their fitness, their energy. And you look at some of the young people that we have in God's church and right here at headquarters, and what a contribution they make. 1 Timothy 4, let me start in verse 6. Paul's writing to Timothy, his assistant. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up, it says, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. You need to be nourished on these words of God, nourished on this truth. I saw this video of a black woman. She's a Christian. And here's another instance. There's not nearly enough of them, but here's another instance where she confronted the mob. In this case, all of these healthcare officials, this is in the U.S., not the U.K., but she confronted them, talked about the prevalence of abortion in the black community, and basically just put forward some basic sound principles of Scripture. There are answers in the Bible to the problems of today. Paul says to Timothy, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness." Stay away from the profanity. Stay away from the nonsense. And of course, when you come into the summer educational program, you leave your devices at the door, and you immerse yourself into the activities. You immerse yourself into the family of God. You immerse yourself into your dorm life. And you immerse yourself into a lot of strenuous physical activity. Verse 8, it says, "For bodily exercise profits little, or for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things." So there's some benefit there from both. Spiritual workouts, that's long-lasting. But the physical, that'll even profit you for a little while. You'll have a happier, healthier, more energetic physical life. And we need that so that we can serve God. So that we can serve God with passion. So that we can serve God with energy. So that we can serve God with zeal. For bodily exercise, it says, profits for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So we're preparing for the life to come. We're preparing for the life, God life, eternal life. This physical existence is just a preparation for what's ahead. It's our launching pad into eternity, into our future in God's kingdom. You look at the world as it is today, and I think it's safe to say there has never been a summer educational program as important as this one we're about to have. These young people, these children, these teenagers, they need this program. They need God's education. Now, they're getting a good education, so many of them with their parents at home. But we're living in the days before the flood. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in a dangerous world. Perilous times are upon us. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Some of the headlines that our children are exposed to today, I didn't see those kinds of headlines when I was their age. Some of the images that they're seeing on the streets of New York or wherever else, I didn't see anything like that when I was their age. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, you can look it up later. Herbert Armstrong, writing back in the 1960s, he talked about juvenile delinquency. That was at the beginning of the revolution, you could say. The Black Panthers. You heard from the Black Panthers earlier. It's far worse today, but it was bad back in the 60s. The spirit of revolt was in the air. And Herbert Armstrong was sounding the alarm. He was a voice crying out in the wilderness. And what a contrast society was back then with what he saw at God's youth camps, at the summer educational program. He's writing here in 1967 about a camp that he visited. And he said it was about as opposite to all this that's going on in the world, that is, as you could hope to find. It was a breath of fresh air amid national air pollution. It was an oasis of sparkling, pure, cold water in a blistering, hot, hot, dry desert. He's speaking of the SEP program. He said it was like a refreshing, inspiring bit of paradise after having been in the nightmare of Dante's hell. What a contrast. Mr. Armstrong says it was like a forerunner of the world tomorrow. For these teenagers, ages 12 to 17, were bubbling over with happiness. Their faces wreathed in smiles, enjoying life to the full. What a difference. What a contrast. Mr. Armstrong, in this same article, he talks about a conversation he had with one of the workers at SEP, one of the camp officials. And it says here, the official responded, "These kids are kept so busy in work they enjoy, in study they find absorbing and exciting, in recreation, swimming, canoeing, power boating, water skiing, in games and fun. There's no time for mischief, moral or otherwise. There's no time for mischief. Look at these poor young people in Chaz. All of them, just idleness all day long. No work, nothing productive. All they have is plenty of time to get into mischief. Plenty of time to spray graffiti all over the city, or to smash up windows, or to rip apart flags, or to chase after voices of dissent. What you're seeing here, or what you're hearing described, these are real solutions to the problems of this world. What we have at SEP, a real solution to the problems of this world. This official said they're kept busy right up to bedtime. And then they're so tired, they're glad to get right to sleep. Their minds are kept constantly occupied with interesting and useful things. This is what our children need. White, black, brown. We need to fill our minds with interesting and useful things, with godly content, with godly instruction. Mr. Armstrong went on to say, why are these teenagers so revengefully and unhappily filled with hate and rioting and destruction and murder? He's talking about the teenagers on the streets back in 1967. Why are they so unhappy? He says, because human nature resents authority. Because most humans have refused to be taught by God. They are hostile to authority over them, whether of law and organized society and the police, or of instruction from God and obedience to God's laws, because they have refused to be corrected by God. They've refused godly instruction. They've refused correction from God. They don't want law and order. They don't want to submit to an authority. He continues, and why were these young people at this camp happy? Because they had been under authority. You see? They had been under authority. This camp was well organized. There was a chain of authority. These teenagers had willingly submitted to that authority. Yes, but what kind of authority, he asked. That particular authority over them was, in turn, submissively under God's authority. The mature officials in charge of this camp had opened their minds to be willing to taught, to be willing to be taught out of the instruction book, God's book. It says they had in their turn first submitted their wills to God, allowed their minds to be teachable, to let their maker teach them his ways, his laws. And these were the ways that regulated those young people in camp. And what was the result? The result was that they thoroughly enjoyed the youth camp experience. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can submit comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.